Okay, I'm going to read you seven verses, okay? First seven verses of chapter 15 of the Gospel of St. Luke. Now, the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear him, to hear our Lord Jesus Christ. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And then Jesus told them this parable. Jesus told them a story. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and he goes home and he calls his friends and neighbors and together and he says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep." Don't you love that part? He says, "I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." And Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, and I am praying that your word would have impact on our hearts and on our lives, Lord. And Lord, we make choices, Lord. And Lord, I'm praying, Lord, that you open our eyes and our minds and our souls to the choices that we make day in and day out and the consequences of those choices, Lord, and the opportunity for redemption and restoration, Lord, that your gospel that is available in the kingdom of God, Lord, I am praying that by your spirit that you would move among us today, Lord, and that you would right wrongs, Lord, that you open our hearts, Lord, that we would find forgiveness, Lord, and that we would become forgivers, Lord, and that you would move in our hearts, Lord, and heal our lives, Lord, and we'll give you praise for that. In Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Watch out. I might be a little bit puffed up this morning. You might have gathered that thus far. I've been doing some work around here. I'm always doing work around here. The Lord is always doing work around here. Part of the work that I've been doing, I had to replace the computer in the sanctuary back there. Or in the sanctuary back there. We do our overheads on. And because like Christmas, the Sunday, day after Christmas, came in, it was crashed. It was burned up, blown up. And then I started doing some stuff and doing stuff, and then I found out that Gene's computer back in the office was getting ready to blow up. And so I replaced both those computers for $200 mighty dollars. Now, how many people say, that's a good deal? Amen? Now, I was able to get these computers because guys recycle computers, and they buy up, you know, you got electronic recycling and all that kind of stuff. And these guys buy up computers and they fix them and they sell them. Why not buy them? Because I'm too cheap to buy new. Amen. Yeah, I got a witness on that. Yeah, we know you're cheap, Pastor. All right. Now, the other thing, the ones that they can't rebuild, they scrap them. And this is a picture of a guy scrapping all these computer parts. Those are motherboards and all kinds of video cards and all kinds of stuff. And what they do is they melt them down. They pull them apart, and they pull all the green plastic and red plastic and all that stuff off, and they get the electronic components because there is a whole lot of gold that they use in the construction of those computer parts because gold is a great conductor of electricity, and there's no heat. So what they do is they take these computer parts, all the old junky and funky ones, and they melt them down into gold. And you can find value in the craziest places, and they are. Today we're going to talk about value, because we open this scripture up, and it talks about the Pharisees, and talking about sinners, and they didn't place much value on sinners, or on tax collectors. And our Lord Jesus Christ placed a great value on sinners. In fact, that's where he's getting into trouble. He says, man, this guy sits and hangs out with sinners. He hangs out with the lost. And not only in the kingdom of God is there great value in people, but there's great value in lost people. And the kingdom of God is all about value. The Pharisees, the people that were repping God, they were writing people off. They were writing sinners off. They were writing tax collectors off. And eventually they wrote off Jesus. And they missed their opportunity for salvation. In response to this sentiment, in the heart of the Pharisees, in the hearts of the lawmakers, Jesus tells three stories. We read the story in our opening of the lost sheep. There is the parable of the lost coin, and then there's the parable of the lost son. Now, you can lose a coin. Amen? I heard Anthony told me that Aaron lost his keys. How many of you guys lose your keys every once in a while? I mean, it's a pain in the neck. You know, I lost my keys. Lose your wallet, whatever. You know what? You don't lose a sheep. I mean, a sheep wanders off. Amen? Kind of sheep kind of loses itself. And your sheep, well, I got to go find my lost sheep because it's lost. I didn't lose it. You know, I just like, oh, I forgot where I put my sheep. No, man. It wandered off. And the story that we're going to take a look at today is the story of the lost son. And he made choices. He made choices in his life that caused him to become lost. And some of us have made choices, and we become lost. Title of today's message is Choices in Consequences, because every one of our choices has a consequence. Can I get a witness on that? We're going to take a look at that. Are we okay so far? All right. Freedom to choose. God gives you freedom to choose. How many of you have chosen poorly? See, sometimes we choose poorly. This young man that we're reading about, it's the younger brother. It is the youngest in the family. And he chooses poorly. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, give me my share of the estate. Give me the money. So he divided his property between them. Older got half? Well, older got some, younger got some. Not long after that, that money just eaten a hole in the pocket of that young man. Amen? Not long after he got the money, he set off for a distant country. How many of us have learned that we're going to make a poor choice? It's easier to do it away from everybody that you know. Amen? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he sent off for that distant country, and there he squandered. Everybody say squandered, would you? Squandered, yes. There he squandered his wealth on wild living. He says, I got a great idea. I think I'd like my money now. I think it's time to eat, drink, and be merry. We talked about that last week. That was what the rich young ruler wanted to do. He wanted to eat, drink, and be merry. He got all of his crops. Time for me to eat, drink, and be merry. The unjust manager, he began to eat, drink, and get drunk. There are things that tug in us, in our lives, things that we need to be able to resist. Amen? Timothy talks about, or Paul writes it as he talks to Timothy, second letter to Timothy, chapter 2, verse 22. Flee, run from, get away from the evil desires of youth. Now, what's the problem of our guy? He's young. All he's got is evil desires of youth. You get to learn to resist. You got to learn to get out of there. He says you got to learn how to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. It takes a while to figure that out. Amen? 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 So what did he do? He squandered his stuff. He started to sin. This word there, wild living. Squanders love in wild living. The word that is translated there, I believe I have it right here. Where is it? Well, it disappeared on me. It's profligate. Profligate. Am I saying that right, Larry? Profligate? Profligate. Shameless, immoral, wild, extravagant, or wasteful. I'll tell you what, in my life, that is described to me. The Lord saved me out of darkness and called me into light. Amen? See, anytime you choose to sin, it is always going to be destructive. Every time. You might not notice it immediately, but it is going to end up messing you up. And for every person in this room, there is a tug on each one of us the tug of sin. And you have to learn how to resist that. Now, it's tugging on you because it is attractive. No one ever chose to sin to be destroyed. I think I'm going to do this because I think I'm going to end up with a DUI tonight. No one has ever started out to get whooped on by sin. See, sin tugs on you and it kind of gets attractive. You say, oh, you know what? This looks pretty good. You know, wow, I think I can handle this. I can't handle this, by the way. My wife can handle it, but ooh, look. I kind of like this. I think I'm going to mess with this. See, that's what sin does to us. It entices us. It tugs at us. And as Paul writes to Timothy, he says, run away. Run away, because sin will look good for a minute. And then it'll start to destroy you. No one sins because of how bad they think it's going to be. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
It's like me and Thomas, the only one who ever sinned in here. It's like, oh, man, they're bad. All right. Choosing poorly turns out bad every time. Can I get a witness on that? Choosing poorly turns out bad every time. After he had spent, what? Everything. Everything. There's room up. Oh, there's two. Okay. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country. Can't get away from it. And he began to be in need. So he went and hired him out to a citizen of that country. Amazingly, he started off independently wealthy. And his sin had destroyed all of his wealth. And he had to hire himself out to a citizen of that country. He sent him out in his field to feed pigs. That's a tough job. Amen. I had pigs. I'll tell you about that another time. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods. He longed to eat that pig food. He longed to fill his stomach with the food that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. He squandered his inheritance in wild living. Why'd he do it? Because he didn't know any better. We got to learn how to run away from sin. The Bible talks about it. I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who lacked judgment. This guy lacked judgment. He was wasting all of his resources. He lived a life without wisdom. He spent everything and wasted his inheritance. And you might be sitting here today, it'd sure be nice to have some inheritance to waste. I don't got any money in the bank. Well, it's not just money that you can waste. Help me now. That means, can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
I'll tell you what, you can make some choices that will destroy your relationships. Amen? Is that not an asset in your life? You got money? I got my relationships? Sometimes you make a choice that will destroy your health, your very body. Sometimes you make a choice, and some of you have done this, that will get you fired. You lose your job, you lose your relationships, you lose your very health, lose your money in the bank. There's all kinds of ways to squander your wealth and your resources. What I want to tell you today is that sin is always going to be destructive for you. There was a lady came in here several years ago. Maybe three, 4 years ago. Hey, Johnny, close that door for me. That ringing out there is getting loud. Oh, thank you, Lord. Isn't God good? This nice-looking lady came in here, attractive. I mean, hey. She was looking good. I mean, there was some stuff going on. Number one, she walked in with an urban fellow, if you know what I mean. He fit the street. She didn't, you know. And she came here for a little while, a short time, and she began to tell me how she wanted to get back to Escondido to visit her kids. I really got kids in Escondido. Yeah, they got a Christian high school up there. Really? My son plays on the JV football team. And I'm thinking, okay, I can read that in you. I don't see the hookup with this guy. She said, yeah, my husband kicked me out 6 months ago. Actually, I chose to leave because I've been hooked on methamphetamine. She chose to come and live on the street with this loser guy and give up her husband, two children, so she could get high. Can you imagine the impact some kid playing on the JV football team? Hey, how come your mom never comes to the game? Oh, she's not around anymore. Sin will always be destructive. And we don't see it on the front end, but you'll see it on the back end. She came here. Some of you might be experiencing a little bit of sin in your life, a little bit of pain in your life. She came here, same way maybe you came here, to get some solutions, to get some healing. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, in the kingdom of God, there's an opportunity for change. In the kingdom of God, there is an opportunity for healing, for restoration, for deliverance, for all that stuff. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. When he came to his senses, oh, I love that word. When he came to his senses, like a light switch going off in his brain. Wow. He came to his senses and he said, how many of my father's hired men? How many of the guys just working for dad have got all the food they want to eat? Here I am starving to death. And you want to see change happen in your life. The number one step that you got to be able to do is you got to be able to see the error. You got to be able to see your error. You got to be able to see your sin. Maybe you're saying, I don't see my sin. I don't see problems that I got in my life. I don't have issues. This guy came to his senses. Why? Because he was starving. It's a whole lot easier to come to your senses when you're starving. Amen?
Amen.
He says, I am so hungry. And what he gets hungry because there's a famine in the land. The famine in the land is what exposes his sin, what exposes his error. Now, let me tell you something. If it wasn't famine, it would have been something else. Because the longer you wait, the more time life has to work on you, the more of your error is going to be exposed. Let me help you out. I'll tell you what. You got a drinking problem? A DUI will help you understand that you got an issue. Can I get a witness on that? I go, you got an issue in your life and you're a parent? The pain on your child's face will help you understand the level of sin in your life. Amen? See, sooner or later, life is going to expose the error of your choices. Because why? Choices always have consequences. And you're making poor choices, they're always going to turn out bad. Step number two about getting changed. Step number two about getting healthy. Step number two about getting restored. Step number two about getting saved and regenerated in your life. You got to see the error and you got to own the error. This is my problem. He says, I'm going to sit out and go back to my father and say to him, Dad, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you. I am no longer to be worthy of being called your son. Just make me like one of your hired men. This is called brokenness, folks. He is seeing the error of his ways and he is owning the error of his ways. And he gets it right, man. I have sinned against you, Dad, and I have sinned against heaven. He finally understands how destructive his choices have been. He goes, my choices have destroyed my position in my family. My choices have destroyed my relationship with my God. And he says, my choices have really even destroyed my life. And he gave up. Now, you can choose to do that. Get all revved up. Rev, 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 no! Run away. And you know what? This guy could have run away. Could have started eating that pig food. And guess what? He would have come down another level. Sooner or later, you're going to address the pain in your life or you're going to die in your sin. This guy's addressing the sin in his life right now. Dad, I have sinned against you and I have sinned against heaven. I'm a sinner. He finally comes to his senses. And that is the place where the kingdom of God will start working in your life. Bible says, if we confess our sin, if we own our error, if we'll come to God in heaven and say, God, I have messed up. I'm not even worthy to be called your child. Just make me a worker. Bible says that if we confess our sins, that he, God, is faithful and just and will forgive us all our unrighteousness, cleanse us and purify us from all of our sins. That's the place where healing can start. Salvation is the beginning. Restoration follows on the heels of that. Isaiah 53:5. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was pierced for our sins. Talking about prophecy about our Lord Jesus Christ. He was pierced. He was crucified for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Another also word for sins. The punishment that brought us peace, the opportunity for salvation, the opportunity for restoration, the punishment that brought us that peace, salvation and restoration, was upon him. He bore your punishment on the cross so that you can be saved and so you can move through and past salvation into restoration and find fullness of life. Does that not sound awesome? He says, and by his wounds we are healed. This guy's life was destroyed because of what? The choices he was making. Our choices always have consequences. But God's love is bigger than our choices. Amen? And God's power is bigger than the consequences of our lives. And if you are trying to look for a restoration in your life, this is how it starts. Own your error, or see the error and own the error, and then confess it to our Lord Jesus Christ. He will save you and he will take you on to something new. Katie's going to come up and talk. This is a lady that is in process. She has come to know the Lord Jesus Christ a couple years back, reading through the Bible. She's doing some awesome things in this church. So share what's going on with you, Katie.
I wanted to share with everyone just over the past few weeks with all of Wednesday night studies and pastors' sermons. A lot of things have been clicking with me as far as what I have to own and what maybe the Lord's been calling me to change in my life, service that I do, and I feel I lead a good life. I know I have a place in heaven, and I'm proud of that. But I have drama, too, and my life, my household is kind of disruptive, and a lot of things have been weighing on me, trying to see where the Lord's taking me. So I've been gathering up all these little things here and there that he talks about, and I've come to know a few weeks ago, on a Wednesday night, Pastor talked about weak-willed women. Well, I was one of those people for a long time. And I think I thought I worked through that, and that was old past life, you know, and I was proud of that. But I realized I carried around a lot of guilt from that. And because of that guilt, I didn't really look at the choices that I had made then and the consequences that it was causing now. And I was carrying that this whole time. And I've been able to own that recently, and I've been able to let it go and know I'm forgiven. I feel so good about it. I know the Lord is opening some doors for me, going to take me some new places. But it's been a little process for a while, and I just know these little steps. I guess I wanted to share with you, it's not always this all of a sudden this big one day, you know, grand change in your life, but sometimes it's little things that happen and you learn and we share amongst each other that the Lord opens those doors when we need them opened, and he'll take you places. So, that's all.
Amen. Now you tap on it. One thing that I was talking with Katie yesterday and talking about, well, actually, she's going to be heading up our Bible study ministry. And we've got She'll be supervising the men's breakfast. She'll be supervising Lisa's Bible study on Monday mornings. My lunch with Pastor Bob, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. She's my supervisor. She'll come and say, so who's coming? What are you teaching? Where are you going to be teaching? She'll be overseeing all the Bible studies that go on in the church. And one of the things she's going to be overseeing as well is the Bible classes. And I started talking to her about the Bible classes. And, you know, she says, you know what? I think the Lord would have me take a Bible class because I think he's calling me into this new thing. And so there's salvation, and then there's restoration and regeneration, and God to do a mighty work. Doesn't that just sound good? Yeah. See, when you come back from a long way back and know you got a long way to go, it's nice to see other people in process and knowing God is not done with me yet. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. Point number three. There is mercy in the kingdom. Oh, I'm happy about that. I'm hearing about mercy all over Katie's life. He says, so this guy's, you know, back to our man, our young boy, young man. And light comes on. It comes to his senses. I'm going to go back and I'm going to see Dad. I'm going to tell him, Dad, just hire me on. I'm going to move in the big house. I'll just sleep with the workers. And it says, so he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, I started coming back to the Lord a long way off. Amen. Some of you might be able to relate. It says, and while he was a long way off, his father saw him. And he was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son. Oh, now is this a great picture, folks? Help me now. He ran to his son and he threw his arms around him. And he kissed him, and it goes on to say they put a ring on his finger, and they put a robe on him, and they killed the fatted calf, and they were going to celebrate. And I want to tell you, the Father is watching you today. That there's mercy in the kingdom of God, and that God's mercy is bigger than your sin. And that God's mercy is bigger than the consequences of your life. And God is looking at you, and he's looking at you from a long way off. See, he says that he saw him. He saw him from a long way off. And you know what that means? That he was watching day by day, every time, all the time he was gone. He was sitting there waiting for his son to come home. And our Father in heaven has been looking at you, waiting for you to come home. Speaking to your heart, saying, my son, my daughter, time to come home. Day in and day out, he's looking for you. When that day finally came, he didn't wait. He came running. And this is a display of the mercy of God. Paul writes it in the letter to Romans. He says, God demonstrates his love for you that while you were a sinner, that while all of us were sinners, Christ died for us. While we were his enemies, he hung us on a cross. You know, if you read, and I hope you do read the scriptures, the Bible tells us that as he hung on the cross, they spit on him. They said, if you're really the Messiah, if you're really the Christ, come down and we'll worship you. And I would have, let me show you something. And then jump back up. That's not what he did. He hung on that cross, and he took their scorn, and he let them spit on him. And that is a measure of the love of Christ. That is a measure of the love of God. It's a long road that we're on, folks. And God's watching you all along the way. While we were his enemies, he died for us. The long road. Many of you are on it. Some of you want to start today. We'll have an opportunity in a minute. But I want to take a look at the last part of this parable or this story. Our choices have long-term impact. The older brother became angry at the father for throwing a party for the younger son. And he refused to go into the party, and his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving away for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. There's bitterness in this other brother's heart, soul, because the older brother's been harmed. Now, the older brother in this story represents the Pharisees, the ones who didn't care about the sinners and the tax collectors. They have no compassion to the people that Jesus is walking out or is reaching out to. And Jesus's action, Jesus tells a story, and the actions of the father expose the hardness of the older brother's heart. And so Jesus' action exposed the hardness of the Pharisee's heart. And I don't want to do a disservice to the text here today, but I do believe that there is an application of what is happening in the life of the brother that can help us if we take it a step further. Because I don't think that the younger brother intended to harm the relationship between his father and his older brother. I don't even think he was thinking about it. He just wanted a party. He just wanted his money and be able to get out of town and have a good time. And he wasn't thinking at all about the relationship between his brother and his father. And so often when we find ourselves in a situation like this, we're just thinking of us. I want what I want when I want it. And I can't even see beyond me. I don't see the pain that I might cause. He didn't see the pain that he caused in his older brother. And that older brother, quite likely, might spend his life steeped in bitterness and unforgiveness, looking for an opportunity to get back at the younger brother and to point out the error of his father. There was a young girl that came to the church, late teens, came to the church as part of a school thing, and was working with us, heard the gospel, and received the gospel of God's mercy. Some of you might receive that today. Say, you know what? This is what I want. I want a new foundation in my life. I want forgiveness of all my sins. She did that. And time went on. She was working with us, growing in the Lord, pretty young thing, just a blessing to be around. And we began to talk of her past and how her father had abandoned her family when she was 5 years old. And that abandonment, he just went off with another woman, had caused untold pain and misery in their lives. In fact, she had really parented her siblings, her brothers, her younger brothers. She had parented them because her mom was just off trying to ease the pain of her life. And she was involved with other men and things like that, and not just a terrible lady, but just not totally involved in her home. And so as this young lady began to grow in the Lord and experience the things of the Lord, we began to discuss her resentment to her father. And I don't know how much her father ever thought about her. She had abandoned him 15 years earlier. And Adam said, I began to tell this young lady, I said, you want to find freedom and restoration and fullness in your life, you're going to have to forgive your father. You're going to have to begin to pray for your father that he might find forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And she said, I don't want him to find forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want him to go to hell for the pain that he caused me and my family and my mom. And he says, if Jesus is going to forgive this guy, I don't want to have anything to do with your Jesus. And she walked out of the church, and she turned her back on the Lord, and she turned her back on the church. Why? Because of the choice her dad made 15 years earlier. That bitterness was massive in her soul. Our choices have consequences. We do things that will create pain in other people's lives that we're not even thinking about. Sin causes pain every time. But that very pain provides the opportunity for salvation and for restoration. We read this story today. And I'm closing up. That however far gone you are, you're not too far gone for God. Bible is full of people whose lives were full of sin and were still used by God. King David, lost in sin, used by God. The Apostle Paul, lost in sin, used by God. Pastor Bob, lost in sin, used by God. I don't know how far gone you are today. Maybe you're here today and you are totally lost in sin. You're not too far gone for God. You just need to come to your senses. You need to realize that you need to make a change. Maybe you'd be like that boy. I have sinned against you. And I have sinned against heaven. You know, we lead complicated lives. So we can be on both sides of this. We can have been harmed by sin. And we can be harming because of sin. You got to come to your senses. You got to realize, I'm so harmed. I'm destroying my life and I'm destroying the lives of people around me. However much destruction there is in your life, you're not too far gone for God. Why? Because God values lost souls. God honors decisions made. The first parable, actually the first two parables, the lost sheep and the lost coin, end with this. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99. See, maybe you are the one today. Maybe you're harmed. Maybe you're harming. But right now, my Lord is calling out from heaven and saying, I'll save you. But you got to want it. You got to know you got a problem and you got to want to change. Maybe you're like Katie. I gave my life to the Lord several years ago and there's other stuff I need to get processed out of my life. Because nobody gets clean in one shot. You're here. You're saved. Lord says, I'll take you to the next level. Choices have consequences. You can choose the Lord this morning, and your life will be dramatically changed. Lisa's going to come up and sing.